book. It was under this portion, verses 1 through 8 of Romans chapter 4. We're going to look at the song of Jesus Christ from you. Now, the book of Romans, of course, is complete. It covers everything imaginable. It is a great, great foundational book, and I hope that you will be enriched as we go through it. Looking forward to what's next. As a matter of fact, I keep looking forward to Romans chapter 8. I look forward to what I will say about it. You understand what I'm saying? So, if I'm saying, don't get it, everybody, it can. But you have to believe that Romans is truly a rich, rich book. So, let's begin reading verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, my father, is having good things? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had nothing under the position of the Lord, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. That is, that work is the reward not reckoned of those who are dead, but to him that does not work, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is carried for righteousness. Even David also cried the blessedness of the man of whom God induced righteousness without work. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord will not impute sin. Father, lead us in God's name, bless the Holy Spirit, to hunger for and to give with you. Open our hearts that we might receive the word of grace that you have purposed for us to receive even this very day. And may we honor you to exalt you and glorify your name for all you've done for us through this sermon, the Lord Jesus Christ. So may your rich blessings be upon your people and we explore your word and the Holy Spirit explore our hearts. And the righteousness for your name and mercy. All these things we ask in the loving name of Jesus. Amen. So this reminds us so that the tendency of falling in this church is the word is born. All says,
did not work for salvation. He trusted in the promise that God has made. It is Jesus who did the work on the cross. And because that his righteousness was put on the lookout. Remember how our Lord said in John 8, verse 58, Abraham rejoiced with me by day and thought that he was mad. What did he tell you about the day of Christ? What he was doing? He was a gospel. Right? The way that God put the things he was in, of course, he didn't like that. Abraham believed God and was telling to him, Abraham said, amen, to the promise. Now, look at this in verse 5. Here is God's little statement, and I'll come back to this even more later. God justifies the ungodly. The law says, I will by no means clear the guilty. The law says, I will not justify the wicked. And every second part of it in verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 1, the Old Testament was commanded to justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. But God justifies the ungodly. Why? Because there are no gods and people for him. That's what we prove already in the first 3 chapters. God put our faith on Christ the Son, that he might put Christ the we'll come back later to verse 4 and 5. But let's move on to the second. It is the temple of David. To get all of this put together. Look at verse 6. Call ye David and his witness, quoting from what David's songs were confessing to the children with Bathsheba. Now, from 2 verse 1 to 2, this is a quotation from the Holy. Blessed is he who has granted is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. David made two amazing statements. The first is this, that God forgives sins and imputes righteousness apart from works. And it's second, God does not impute to us our sins. Because we've already imputed them to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, once we are justified, our record contains Christ's perfect righteousness and will never again contain our sins. Christians listen, and the sins never be a trust. We're to have fellowship with God. 1 John 1, verse 5 to 7, you have a message in your body that you can write down. This is the message that you have heard of him and declare unto you that God is love. And in him is no darkness at all. We pray that we are conscious of him and walk in darkness. We lie and deny the truth. But if we walk in the light, in the law, we talk with one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is on cleansing us from all sins. We do things as Christians, but those things are not imputed to us. Because all of our sins were imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of Calvary. And Barabbas, who was set free. You look back at those 3 calls and you can see the turn that one in the middle. I can go for you without the method that heaven by grace. You and I, as believers, can say the very same thing. God intended to Christ our sins so that we can speak to you, the believer, sinner, Christ's own righteousness. These sins are not held against what God does. The record of our works, so that we might reward it when Jesus comes. But it is not keeping the record of our sins, because the Bible is filled with the important things that our sins
been purified once and for all by the blood of the Son of God. Hebrews 1:3 says, "From whom the body himself purged our sins." Hebrews 9:1 says, "We put away our sins for the sacrifice of himself." We will never be charged as believers with our sins again. Or being condemned, because we were all beat out to the Lord Jesus Christ. God rests with us in the holy word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the whole Paul is saying that he knows that man's ways cannot stand up to the scrutiny of a holy God. If men were to receive what they deserve, they would not be credited with righteousness. They would instead be condemned to a devil's hell. They would all blessed. They would want to when they return, as in chapter 4 and verse 8, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not reckon his time. And the only covered book, for in verse 7, come to faith in the Lord Jesus. Paul has demonstrated logically and scripturally that men are justified by faith. And the core issue in this section, drawn from the first book chapter, is peace that man's works cannot stand up under the scrutiny of God. If men want God to recognize them according to their work, they will be condemned. It is all important that one believes in Abraham that one is justified before God. Abraham believed God. It will come to him for righteousness. When he believes, he will believe that which God promised to him, which was spoken about his seed being in chapter 4 and later on. Will see that it is not seeds, but it is seed. One seed, Christ, who wrote again, as you know, Abraham rejoiced in my death and Christ, and he was wrong. So now, in order to understand it more fully, let's focus on verse 4 and 5. Paul made this starting statement, God justifies the ungodly. And if the law is, I will never declare a different person to be dead. But God justifies the ungodly again because there were no godly to be us. Remember what was stated in chapter 3? There is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous. There is none that seeketh after God. God justifies the ungodly. Paul, in these three verses, every child of God ought to memorize these two passages of Scripture. They'll help you in times of doubt and difficulty, in times of temptation. When the leader of the brethren comes and says to you, true, you're not sound, and you wasn't real, you were allowed certain things in your life, and so on. Well, here is is that these three verses say that no mind of fallen man ever can be. Because do not people naturally believe that the remedy studies is to be good, to do good? That's the natural way. If you were asked, are you religious? Are you denomination? I can guarantee you, have you heard? How you would people the church definition? You would want good people. You would want righteous people. You would not prefer ungodly people. But God justifies the ungodly. And what statement that he knows in verse 4? Saying that work is the reward not reckoning of grace, but of gift. If I agree to work with you 10 hours an hour for 40 hours a week, and you say to me, you have been working in this very paid question over,
we are now made that there's no grace to be met at all. But now, to a man that works for wages, of course, the wages are any other that for us not working. But don't we provide us with others? No man ever got righteous by work or work. None whatsoever. So look at verse 5. But a man that does not work, he who sits down, he does the duty, who then is here, and his entire inability to put it away, strips it all together from all efforts to obtain the favor of God by his own doing, by his own self-denial, even by his prayers, and whatever efforts. Him that does not work, but believes on the God that declares righteous and ungodly, and not the God who on the good and fine, against the God that are not. So you see, in many ways, that it's not the rich one, not even the born again who declares righteous. It is the ungodly. It is not the parent man or the friend man, it's the ungodly. And of course, it's not the church member, it's not the Baptist, it's not the Methodist. It's not a Jesus Christ, not the Presbyterian, not the people, but the ungodly. God that provides the ungodly. So men must be even thinking. They must be all works weeping and fasting. Even resisting, even earnest prayer, and simply believe that God lays their sins, their very own sins, all of them, on Christ. And you might be looking at me like that, looking at a new game. And you can believe this. It is a starting statement. God justifies ungodly people. We think by nature, the Lord will never find God to do good. That's what the verse says. God justifies the ungodly. We're not told first to see the ungodly and then believe, but the ungodly to believe. So are you seeking to justify your sins and that your father or righteous, that you're trying to do what God said he's already done through Christ? Now, let me see the signs of the passages that affirm this. At the end of the book in Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. And when this statement was made, you move on down beyond this in verse 40 and 41, where Paul said, according from your Old Testament, behold, I know your work, it will not believe, even though a man kills you. It is not being justified simply by faith alone. So look at this in verse 38 and 39. They have known, therefore, you union brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And notice this, verse 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, you brethren, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things through which of God which cannot be justified by the law of Moses. All that believe, now notice that all that believe, not believe in something else, not believe in prayer, not believe in action, not believe in doing, all that believe are justified from all things. Justified by faith alone. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 1. And you'll notice that the first word is the word therefore. Paul is continuing this assertion. Remember how chapter 4 chapter to us all about Abraham and David, illustrating the definition by faith. Therefore, he says in verse 1, chapter 5, be been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, just like Abraham was, just like David was, and just like even saved soul, Abraham was justified by faith. And then what we're reading the letter in chapter 3 in verse 24. The law was a schoolmaster, the bread of Christ, that we must be justified by faith. The law was a schoolmaster, showing us our bankruptcy, that you could not, you would not, you did not. You were incapable of justifying yourself. The law of the schoolmaster will show you your sinfulness in order that you could be justified by faith. In order for you to see that the only avenue, the only means for you to be justified by faith. In terms of what is not lesson is, but believe on him that justifies the ungodly. His faith is not for righteousness. That God says that he is. That's what God said to Abraham. So you would argue and say, but what is the refuge? This is God's word. He who is on the truth as a Bible, him that justifies the ungodly. And before you were saved, you will have to do it. You thought that if I make myself good enough, if I make the policy and I'm going to do good, or I'm going to subscribe to religion, I'm going to join the church, I'm going to be baptized, I'm going to pray the prayer, and all these things, good, work for righteousness. You thought who you know sin, who you know sin for us, in order that the righteousness of God might be assigned to us. The Son of Man, the Son of God became the Son of Man, in order that the Son of Man may become the sons of God. Jesus, bring that to the place and father for us. So we're going to read this passage, this darkening statement, God justifies the ungodly. I know that I'm fully water. I don't think we have a moral business. I am fully qualified. But only the Holy Spirit can do this. Because we have to try to read Abraham simply believed what God said to him, the record that he gave. And as that record stated in the New Testament, this is the record of us, that he has given his name, and that is law in his name. He that has the Son is law, and he that does not have the Son does not have life. So what do you say this morning?
using that language in the text of Abraham's faith? Did he say, as an ungodly woman, I believed the retina, not the agent, that what you're saying was gotten from it? And all I say is, amen. Your word is true. You're the God who cannot lie. And therefore, we can depend on your word. You are an eternal God, and you are truth. Therefore, see this work of your word, and see it for its intention, so that it is not by the works of righteousness. There is not any work of righteousness in heaven. Whether it's prayer, or whether it's enormous, whatever it would be, it's not by those means, but by your mercy, you have saved it by the wonderful regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We know that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you pray to believe the power, your power under salvation, we must remain steadfast and firm upon what the gospel is. Declare to us how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture was written, rose again the third day according to the scripture. That's the way of salvation, because where it is, you can't identify it below the top of all in all those things of which you are saved. Let your soul have the biggest one see that salvation is only what Christ. Let us not say that prayer is the cause when it is really the effect. Let us not say that our good deeds and our works are the cause when they are the effect of being born of the Spirit and being both of and ungodly ones on the Lord Jesus Christ. Live in harmony and truth in our hearts and our minds. If you just divide upon God, if you come here to those who believe, and you come to believe that such and such, as you did with us, and give your people a spirit of rejoicing that you've done such a wonderful thing, a work that you said that nobody would believe, even if a man told you unto it. And the Holy Spirit be his for his own way whereby we can understand it. And to understand it, our heart should be rejoicing and joy in the God of our salvation. Thank you for this time. Thank you be honored and glorified in everything that's said, and what we have to learn in Christ. Amen.